Da 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 da. Good evening, everyone. It's time for another bedtime story.
And what chapter is this?
This is chapter 14.
14. Robinson.
Seizes the ship. And we're reading The Adventures of Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe. Chapter 14. Robinson Seizes the Ship. When the captain had finished talking to the prisoners in the cave, he rejoined Robinson outside. They had to make plans now for seizing the ship. Both men agreed that the seven men who made up their small army were not enough to overpower the rest of the mutineers on the ship. So the captain went back inside the cave, hoping to pick out more men who could be trusted. He began by reminding them how lucky they were still to be alive, for surely they deserved to be hanged. The prisoners nodded sadly, realizing that their captain spoke the truth. "But," continued the captain, "if you join with me and help me recover my ship, I have the word of the governor that each of you will be pardoned." The men were overjoyed at the chance to save their lives. They fell to their knees and swore to the captain that they would be faithful to him till their dying day. "I shall go to the castle now," said the captain, "and tell the governor what you have promised." The captain returned to Robinson's tent and reported the conversation. Robinson decided to use only five of the prisoners and leave the other six in the cave. That way, if the five did not keep their promises and fight loyally, the rest would be hanged. When the captain reported this to the prisoners, they realized that the governor was a very hard man, but a wise one as well. For now, the prisoners themselves had to persuade each other to fight bravely and loyally or risk being hanged. Robinson and Friday stayed on shore to guard the remaining prisoners as the captain and his 11 men climbed into two boats. It was midnight and the darkness would hide their true identities from the crew as they boarded. The mutineers would simply think the boats held their own men returning from shore. Once on board, the captain and his men started the attack. They overpowered the men on deck and fastened the hatches to lock in those who were below. Then they broke into the cabin of the mutineer who had taken over as captain. After much firing back and forth, the leader of the mutiny lay dead and the men around him wounded. Seeing their leader killed, the rest of the men surrendered. The mutiny was over and the ship was now back in the true captain's hands. The captain ordered seven guns to be fired as a signal to Robinson that the attack had been a success. After a two-hour wait on shore, Robinson was overjoyed. At daybreak, the captain returned to the island. He embraced Robinson in his arms for a long while. Then, pointing to the ship, he said, "My dear friend and rescuer, there is your ship. She is all yours, and so am I, and all of my men." Robinson looked out. There, at the entrance to the creek, lay his ship. Her flags were flying, and her sails were spread. She was ready to carry him home. Robinson could not utter a word. His joy left him speechless for several minutes. Then, finally, the tears came. Robinson took the captain's hand and sobbed, "My friend, you have truly been sent from heaven to rescue me." Then he fell to his knees and whispered a prayer of thanks to God. To celebrate this joyous occasion, the captain had brought some gifts ashore for the governor. He called to his men to bring these up to the fortress. There were cases of wine, sacks of meat, boxes of biscuits, crates of vegetables, and suits of clothing, complete with shoes and stockings. Robinson was delighted, especially with the clothing, but wearing it was another story, for it was rather uncomfortable putting on the sort of shirts, pants, hats, stockings, and shoes he had not worn for 28 years. After Robinson walked around a while to get used to his new clothes, he and the captain sat down to discuss what was to be done with the prisoners they had captured during the attack on the ship. All but two had surrendered peacefully, but the two who hadn't could be a problem. "We can take them back to England in irons," said the captain, "but I fear that they will still make trouble aboard ship." "Then why not leave them here on the island?" suggested Robinson. "Surely they can survive just as I did." When the captain agreed, Robinson had Friday bring the two men to him. Dressed in his new clothing, Robinson looked every bit as impressive as the governor of an island should look. As the prisoners entered, Robinson studied them long and hard. "I have been told all about your evil deeds by my friend the captain," began Robinson. "I know how you ran away with his ship and were planning to attack and rob other ships as well. But you will be punished, just as your leader has been punished. Look out to your ship, you villains. See your leaders hanging dead from the tip of the yardarm? What have you mutineers to say for yourselves? Shall I execute you as pirates? As governor, I have the right to do so, you know." One of the men answered, "Your Excellency, we ask for mercy." "Well," said Robinson, "I do not know what mercy I can show you, for I plan to leave the island with all my men. I am going to England with the captain, and the only way you could go along would be as prisoners in irons. Then, once we reach England, you will have to stand trial for mutiny, and the result of that, you surely know, is hanging. So I really do not know what is best for you, unless you wish to try living here on the island by yourselves. I would not care, since I am leaving. Oh, thank you, Your Excellency, cried the men. They both certainly preferred to stay on the island rather than be taken to England to be hanged, and since Robinson didn't really want any more killings at this point, he agreed to let them stay. Once the men were freed from their ropes, Robinson spent the next several hours explaining to them how he had survived for 28 years on the island. He showed them how he built his fortress, how he plowed his ground, how he planted his crops, how he ground his corn, how he made his earthenware pots, how he wove baskets, how he dried grapes, how he baked his bread, how he milked his goats, and how he made butter and cheese. In all, he told them everything they needed to know in order to survive on the island. He also told them of the Spaniards who were to arrive on the island shortly, and he made the two men promise to treat the new arrivals kindly. Robinson also left them all his arms and promised them extra ammunition from the ship before she sailed. So Robinson spent his last night on the island, walking along the paths and climbing the hills he had come to know so well over the years. The next morning, the captain sent a boat ashore for Robinson and Friday. As Robinson prepared to leave, he carried with them his great goatskin cap, his goatskin umbrella, his parrot, and all the gold and silver that had lain in the cave, growing rusty and tarnished over the years. And so, according to the notches on his calendar post, Robinson left his island on the 19th of December in the year 1686. It was exactly 28 years, 2 months, and 9 days after he had arrived. End of chapter 14.
Come now next, chapter 15. Home again.
Good night.
Good night.